the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Yes, Lord,
shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love.
You want to see him, just look around. You can see him standing among you. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Just remember the announcements that were made about Brother Ryan's granddaddy passing away. He had one to pass away just the other day. Now he's lost another one, and all. And just remember that. Pray for the families, mainly what he was wanting today. Remember that. Remember the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday. We'll be leaving at 10 o'clock, all right? So if you want to go with us or whatever, make sure you let us know. You know, don't come up Saturday morning and say we'd like to go because we get everything arranged. You know, you can let us know ahead of time. Just remember that, all right? Remember me tomorrow night, too. I'll be down at Brother Collins. He called him, wanted us to come down there and preach for him on Thursday night, but he's got a baptismal service, and he kind of wants somebody to kind of talk to the ones that have come for the baptismal service. So we'll just have a little service together maybe and whatever, and have a baptismal service and all. So just remember that tomorrow afternoon, and the Lord would be with us. I believe that's all the announcements. Anything else? Remember to pray one for another continually, because we always need each other's prayer. All right. Revelations 1. 1 Peter 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in your light and love that you've allowed to shine in our path, that we may be able to see you. And we pray that you would just have your way with each and every one of us. And Lord, most of all, that you'd forgive our sins and cover us by the blood. And Lord, that we may be able to walk in you. And as we try to speak about you tonight, Lord, you come on the scene in each one of our hearts and our lives and manifest yourself in a mighty way to bring forth your word unto us. Because we know and we've read many times, we can open the book and we can speak about it, but yet we cannot reveal it. So then it'll take you among us to do the work. So come tonight and just manifest yourself in each one of our hearts and lives. Remember these that are the ones that are not here, the sicknesses and things. Little Mark, I remember him, Father, and just remember Brother Ryan's family there and the loss of the loved one. And just have your way with each and every one of us. Guide us now in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Revelations 1:1-3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What? The time to understand should be surely at hand. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that unto that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now what are we to do with all of that? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Speaking from the book of Revelations, and we've been trying to cover some things on it, and just moving slowly as we gradually walk through the word, and we've come through a point now to be able to understand, and we've looked at the book, and we thank God that there was a prophet to bring the message, because without him we would not have understanding of these things. But by his speaking the things of God, and you know, it's brought to our understanding at least a knowledge of the you know, what the symbols are, the things that are written in the book of Revelations, so we can, you know, we can understand that and follow into that line. All right, now you remember when we'll read it in just a few minutes there in Revelations 5, that it starts off by saying that there was a throne, you know, one sitting on the throne. Now that's chapter 4 about the throne, and in chapter 5 it comes forth and says, and the book in the right hand of the one that was sitting on the throne. So we went through these things to try to cover them, and without spending a lot of time to be able to understand, but yet to move on, Brother Brandon says, paragraph 116 of the seal book, the breach, that the book in the hand of the one on the throne was the book of redemption. And when Adam and Eve fell, see, then the book went back to the original owner, which was Almighty God himself. All right? And see, then he would have it there sitting on the throne in his hand. All right? Then we covered how that it was a sealed book. That was what we didn't understand. That was one of the things in man's mind of trying to comprehend a sealed book, when you could read it. You know, you say, well, how is it sealed when I can read it? I now can tell you especially the symbols and things, because the prophet has brought it unto us. But until it's revealed to you and I, the book is still sealed. That's the point I've been trying to drive. All right? And you'll see in a minute why we spend so much time on that, because, you know, we get over to the dealing in the scripture there and Revelations, and we should at least be thinking a little bit about, well, why is all of this going this way when we know Calvary has already done this? You know, we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins at Calvary. He purchased us and all. But yet, still, we're coming to the book of Revelations, and we find out it's a sealed book. Well, look like we would, you know, mankind would really make light of us in our thinking, but it is sealed, because if it wasn't sealed, why would the Lamb be having to take the book and loose the seals? You know, I mean, what would be the doings if it wasn't a sealed book? All right? So then we've got to keep that in our mind, that it was a sealed book. We covered that, of how it was brought. And then Brother Branham covering how that the book is sealed, page 75 of the breach, or paragraph 75, he covers that the book is sealed, and you are sealed with the book. Now, see, then we better be considering what we're speaking about. As I said, we'd look at it and say, well, Jesus Christ done everything back there. Well, why would the book of Revelations be speaking of something seemingly in the end time? And when we get over later to the lamb that was to take the book, it was a bloody lamb. We know where he was crucified, but why would it be a bloody lamb to come over in the end time and have to do something? See, then there must be something about redemption that we don't fully understand. All right. Now, Jesus Christ paid the price. Don't misunderstand me. He paid the price. He redeemed us. All right? He gave us eternal life. All right? But that is only in the soul. Our body and our spirit is still in a realm of, you know, problems in life. All right? Mortal problems. See, mortal. All right? But see, he's promised a full plan of redemption. All right? So then we must know something about this full plan that would involve not only the soul of mankind, because if we were just going with the soul being redeemed and everything was done back there, it was all finished, you know, and all, then we would be having to try to get us a new body. So that's why the world goes that way, see, the religious world, that they were going to get them a new body, because they don't believe in this body being redeemed. But we believe in the plan of redemption for the body, spirit, soul, even for this world that we live on. All right? See, but that was not made known back there. All right? So then what is actually taking place? See, the emphasis is on the end time, that we must have this. If not, then John was weeping trying to find a redeemer. Right? Well, why would he be weeping when he already knew about Jesus Christ? Why would he be crying out for a redeemer? See? When he was, it was about AD 95, 96, and John surely would believe that he was one of those in the upper room, you know, about AD 33 somewhere, when the Holy Ghost fell. So then he had had the baptism of the Holy Ghost for quite a while. And he was chosen to write. Not only was he chosen to write the book of Revelation, he was chosen to write his own gospel before he goes to Patmos. So he must have been very, you know, very knowledgeable. But why would he be coming over, as I was emphasizing the other day, why would he be coming over in the book of Revelations, see, wanting a redeemer? You know, why didn't he just jump up and say, glory, that was Jesus? Well, see, that's what the world thinks about it. That's what religious man thinks of. He doesn't consider anything about the book of Revelation, see, and he can't comprehend it. Because why would you need a redeemer if you're saved? You know. And you can say to him, well, we needed a redeemer for the body and the spirit. Well, we're going to get us a new one anyway. No. But you see, church, the point I'm wanting to get to you tonight is one thing. I've tried to make this point, and I want you to think about it. There was something to take place in these last days that we need to comprehend. All right. Now, truly, Jesus Christ paid the price. But he didn't purchase... You know, he didn't claim the possession. If you read the breach, I've asked you to read the breach and read it and read it. In that you'll find that he didn't claim the possession. He claimed the possession of your soul by the new birth. But he didn't claim possession on the body and things to make it manifest, all right? He claimed it because it was there, but he didn't take possession. These bodies and things are still in the domain of Satan. And you know, they're not redeemed or not totally purchased at the time, brought into manifestation, ever how you want to say it. And that's what we're dealing with. All right? So then you would only have the part plan of redemption for the soul. You wouldn't have the plan of redemption for the body and the world and the things. You would just be dealing with the redemption of the soul. But see, nobody's ever had to face what you and I are facing, the redemption of these bodies. Right? And that's hard to bring to a place to explain to people, like I said, especially religious people, what do you mean? What do I need to be saved for? I was saved 40 years ago. My name is written on the book. Yeah. But you're dying. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to jog your memory about what you used to believe. You used to believe that you were saved in your soul. That Jesus Christ done that. Right? But then somebody say something about the body or something. Well, we're going to get a new one. And they wouldn't dare to say anything about this world being redeemed. Right? So then where would you go? See, that's just part plan of redemption. You see what you'd be leaving out. Look where you'd be. You'd be a spook floating around up in heaven somewhere. So then you could go through and prove, say, well, Jesus had nail prints in his hand, so we're not going to get a new body. Is this body redeemed? Well, we'll just be floating on the clouds. We'll just be playing harps and all kind of things, because that's what we all thought, right? But then the prophet began to talk about the plan of redemption. And he began even before the seals broke, speaking of a kinsman redeemer that would have to come and pay the price. Now, he spoke of a kinsman redeemer to come in the end time. So that's what's made people, many of them, think that he was God. Because he would be talking about a kinsman to come. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why we've been reading that from Peter there. To be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be revealed to you. All right? Now see, then the kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ was our kinsman, right? God came down in human flesh. All right. So we know who the kinsman is. But what is John crying for in the book of Revelation? He's crying for a kinsman. He's saying, is somebody worthy? Is there a man that can do this? And yet we read, and we'll read it a little more later on, or maybe in the message. The elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, overcome, wrestled with, finished it. And he can loose the seven seals. All right. But then, when John looks to see who's coming, he sees a lamb. One that had been slain. He knew who that was. He was there when he was crucified. All right? And that's what I've asked you. I've asked you to loosen your mind from your old thinking. And see, to try to think about what's happening. Why, we've been 40-something years. See? Since the leaving of the prophet. And all the years that he was here with us preaching. And preaching the plan of redemption. Do we understand it now? After all of these years. That's why I asked you a simple question. I said, is your faith strong enough to produce a lamb for you? Because it's got to be a personal thing. Right? An individual affair. All right? Well, see, then we can look back and we can say, well, sure. Jesus Christ paid the price. But see, he didn't finish the work. See, it was to be finished in the end time. He went to the Father's throne, right? We've been through that. Fulfill what he said in Revelation 3:21. He that overcome will sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sit with the Father in his throne. That's to this age. That's the message to this age. All right. See, then by doing that, he paid the price. But he didn't take possession of the purchased product. All right? So he's left us with time. And time and sight is God's worst enemies. And see, in time, man lost the understanding of even that Jesus was Almighty God. And come through with a Trinitarian doctrine. To believe in God in three persons, blessed Trinity, you know. Co-equals and co-eternal when they're not even sensible. See, we came forth with that. Brother Branham preached a message one time, said, raising God from history. See, a historical God won't save you. You can't be saved by something in the past. Now listen, and you can't be saved by something in the future. Right? You got to be something that's present tense. Because that's why that he said, I am that I am. And that's ever present for eternity. All right? So what he done at Calvary is wonderful. But he didn't claim the possession at Calvary. He left that for the end time. To where something would have to take place. All right. See, the book then, remember how we went through it? You don't take a book and put a seal on it and close it up and sell it to the market and then about half written. Right? The book has got to be completed. Then it could be sealed up. All right? Then you'd have something in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Right. But see, then we take the other side. Now, that's just the one side of it is looking at it as a, oh, it's all finished back there. I don't know what y'all all talking about because it was finished back there. See, then the other side comes over here and says, well look here what happened in the end time. And they can't get the whole thing together. See, the plan of redemption was paid for at Calvary. He don't have to be crucified again. The purchase of our bodies was at Calvary. The purchase of the world was at Calvary. Everything was purchased at Calvary. All right? But it wasn't applied. It wasn't applied to us. Had it been applied, see, it would have been done right there. See, we've had 2,000 years. And like I said, then in doing that, we've even lost the understanding that the one sitting on the throne was Almighty God. We come up with the Trinitarian ideas and all kind of ideas. And see, none of that would be true. Right? See, the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption. It's got to be completed. Right? When the Lamb, that's what I ask you. I kept asking the question, do you believe redemption's over? I'm asking you seriously, or anybody listening, do you believe redemption's over? If you do, then the Lamb can leave the mercy seat. But he can't leave the mercy seat until redemption's over. That's why it couldn't be a line. See, the elder said there would be a line because he knew that it would be the line of the tribe of Judah. But when he looked, he was surprised because it was a lamb. Lamb has to do with salvation or redemption. Line has to do with king or, you know, full inheritor. So then when it took place there, he could only be a lamb. It didn't say a lion come forth that was bloody. The lamb ain't bloody. Yeah, am I saying the lion's not bloody? Let me say it right. All right. The lamb is the bloody one, which means redemption. All right. But the lion is king. When he leaves the throne of mercy, he is a lamb. Then he can become a lion. If you think redemption's over, like everybody, you know, half the message people believe, redemption was over in 63. Well, if it was, there ain't nobody got saved since then. So that'd leave out the biggest portion of us, wouldn't it? And the biggest portion of your families and things would be left out. But see, that's what I kept trying to make the emphasis. The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. That's the book of redemption. And Brother Brown said there was only names written in that book. All right? It wasn't this kind of a doings. This is what is handed to earth called the Bible. The prophet will call it the Bible in the hand of the one on the throne. What's he saying? This Bible was written about the names that was in the book of life. Right? Even to covering Judas and like that. His name was in the book of life. But it was not in the eternal section. Right? Because he didn't get eternal life. All right? So then the book of life has to be an eternal section, and then it has to be a natural section. This Bible is a natural thing telling you what's happening on earth. But at the same time, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ to reveal eternal life to you and I. All right? Now, that being true then, why would it be that the elders, I said, would be calling for a redeemer? Someone that could take the book and loose the seals. You know, get my point and you'll understand why the prophet would be saying it. He said John was weeping. Not because that he wasn't worthy to take the book, but said he was weeping that if somebody didn't take the book, all would be lost. And so we know for certainty, if you have eternal life, are you listening to what I was trying to bring and bring it down to you? If you have eternal life tonight, then there is definitely a lamb to take the book. Are you following me? If you have eternal life. Now, if you don't have it, there's no lamb for you. You're just confessing something. But you see what it was, that when John was weeping, he saw the lamb and he saw the things. He knew Jesus Christ had paid the price. But he also knew that that old body was still giving us trouble. But you see, when that lamb come forth, John stopped his weeping. But the elder said a lion would come forth. Are you listening? See, why didn't John say, wait just a minute. Wait a minute now. I'm up here and I understand a little bit. I know he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Because that's where Jesus came from in the natural lineage part. From Judah. All right. A lawgiver would come from Judah. All right. And we know it didn't come down to him. It come down to Joseph. But still it was a connection to earthly forms. John knew the lion of the tribe of Judah would be worthy. Come on. Because he had lived his life with him. He knew who that was. But yet, when the lamb stepped out, John quit really weeping because he really began to realize, hey, wait just a minute. I was down there when John the Baptist stood out there and didn't say the lion of the tribe of Judah. Said the Lamb of God will take away the sins of the world. See, then it all began to come together with John. He wasn't going around, wait a minute now, you just go stand over there, Lamb. I still want a line. No, he knew then redemption wasn't over. He knew as long as he stayed a lamb and stayed connected to that throne, his salvation would be here. All right? And if we don't believe redemption's over tonight, then the lamb's still on the mercy seat. Yeah, but Brother Branham, when he preached it, the lamb left the mercy. I've asked you to read, if you will. Why is it people don't read what Brother Brown said? They'd ask him, was salvation over? He said, I never said nothing like that. They asked him, said, we go out and preach. Because, see, they thought when the lamb left the mercy seat, that it left it right there with Brother Branham and walked down. And some even wanted to take from souls in prison where Brother Branham was talking about the lamb taking the book and said, climbed up on the throne and sat down. He said, I'm the one that did it. And people wants to take that as being Brother Branham is the one that did it. He's making him deity. Huh? Well, are you listening? The elder said a line. He was looking for a king. And he saw a bloody lamb. And then he realized what was taking place. He realized as long as that lamb stays on that mercy seat. You remember in the Old Testament, the prophet would explain it. He said, as long as the lamb was on the mercy seat, he said, everything was okay. But he said, if that lamb ever left that mercy seat, he said, it'd become judgment seat. You say, well, I want him here today as a lion. You better be careful. That means redemption's over if he's here as a lion. All right? But you see, church, what I've tried to get you to see, I was looking at something today, thinking about it, about this lion and lamb. You know, the proclamation went out in the 5th chapter for a lion. Or the elder said, you know, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. You know, that word lion is not mentioned again until Revelation 10:3. Go home, read your Bible. Well, I don't know whether that's right or not. Well, go read. And come and show me. He's a lamb all the way through there, because even when we leave out of here, there is redemption for Israel. True? But see, we're wanting a lion. If a lion is here, redemption's over and he's king. And Brother Brown said he comes to claim his possession as king. See, the lamb is paying the price. The lamb pays for the redemption. But the lion is the king. But you better remember too, now something I said to you, so you ought to go read your Bible. He's never mentioned as a lion again until Revelation 10. But the lamb stays clean on over into Revelation 21. Read your Bible. See? Because when he becomes king, the little bride is the only one that knows him as king. Sure, he'll be king of the world and king of all, so will we. It's like they say, you know, the only thing out in the jungles of Africa that's not afraid of the lion is what? His wife. She loves to hear that sound. Everything else is scared. Elephants run. Big old animals, they just run from him. Why? Because he's king. But you know what? She's laying over in the bush and said, "That's my husband. I'm okay. I got one that's my king. I can take care of everything. He'll take care of everything. I don't have to worry." But listen to that and just think about it. Sometimes just let these things run through your mind. The call was for a lion, but a lamb comes forth to pay the price. All right? Now, see, then in looking at it, what we're seeing is the plan of redemption being made known to the bride of Jesus Christ. Come on now. When we're reading the book of Revelations, the Lamb is revealing the book of Revelations to you and I. But the world's not seeing it. Right? Only the bride is seeing the book being revealed. Why? Because she's sealed with the book also. And she knows she's being revealed also. So now are we back where I started at? Then show me in the book of Revelation Jesus Christ ever standing by himself. He's always in bride form or in with the bride. He's never by himself. It's a wonderful book if we just read it correctly. But now listen. The elder said the lion was worthy. But a lamb comes forth. That don't connect with you? You see, as long as he's a lamb, he's redeemer. Redemption can't be over until the life's name comes in, right? The life's name is brought to the earth, and then redemption will be over. Right? Now, if that's true, then, see, then we better find out where here in the end time. Why is the emphasis placed then upon the end time? Why did not John just write that the Lamb of God, when he said, you know, I can understand this part to where he said, you know, the lion is worthy. I can see John as he'd maybe stagger back, but he remembers that Jesus Christ has come from the line of the tribe of Judah. He remembers that. But he knows while he's upon earth, as I said a while ago, he was introduced as the Lamb of God. Now he's been the Lamb for 2,000 years. He's not the Lion yet. He can't come forth as the Lion until redemption's over. All right? The book has to be completed, finished, sealed up. And you and I are sealed with the book. So then the plan of redemption is being seen from Calvary and is still going on. Are you following me? It's still going on. But yet we couldn't comprehend the full plan of redemption, as I was saying. See, now after we've heard the message, in order to at least bring it to our remembrance of what's going on. See, then they would have to be then in the end time. Not the coming forth of a lion. That can't be done until redemption's over. but the coming forth of a lamb. Now, without having to go into detail, but remember the last message we preached. Remember how I was trying to emphasize that we must be the Word made flesh. All right? Mary, Brother Branham, says, seed not ours with a shuck. It's also a masterpiece. There's two seeds not ours with a shuck, one in Jeff and one. And he says it on both of them. He said, Mary was not the seed. He said, she was the carrier. Mary had the seed within her, right? But she was not that seed. Now, that's not de-Christianizing Mary or throwing her away or nothing. It's telling the God's honest truth about her. She was not God. Neither is she the mother of God, you know. He just borrowed her womb. All right? But see, she's not God, so she's not that seed. But God was in Mary. Mary gave birth to the Word, right? God Almighty manifested in human flesh. She gave birth to it. All right, Brother Branham in those messages said, Mary represented Azusa Street Pentecost. He said Luther wasn't the seed. Wesley wasn't the seed. Pentecostal, 1906 Azusa Street. I say that where you won't confuse me with the book of Acts, because that was the Word in the book of Acts. Those ages only had a partial realization of understanding. So they were not the fully matured seed. Now listen, don't misunderstand and go off. You read what he says. He said, I don't know where he said it. Well, send me word. I'll send you the copies of the. I'll send you the book if I need to. Brother Branham said Luther was not that seed. What? He was the seed of God for the age he was in. But he wasn't a fully matured seed. He was a Trinitarian, baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and said the Jews ought to be taken into out and killed or something like that. But you see, the seed he had was true and pure, or the just shall live by faith. All right, so we used a corn of wheat, right? You know, stalk, tassel, etc. Chuck, that's what your prophet used in there. Showing us then that the shuck is only the shelter, which the shuck was Mary that gave birth to the Word. The shuck was Azusa Street Pentecost that gave birth to Jesus Christ, yes. And you and I, by our new birth, must come to a place of birth in Christ. But that's a baby form of Christ. And what I'm asking you is the same thing I did. Is your faith powerful enough to produce a lamb? Because see, the emphasis of the prophet's message in the Bible is pointing down to the end time. That there'd be a group of people upon this earth that would not only give birth to the Word, but become that Word. It's not for us to be Luther and Wesley or anything, Pentecost. If I was back there, I'd been happy to be back, because that would have been the Word for the age. But they were not the matured seed, right? Like I said in our Sunday then, you don't go out and look at your corn. We've got some at the house. You go out and pull it. It's ready to eat. Boy, that's good stuff, you know. I eat it sometimes just without even cooking it. Just raw corn, yeah. Kind of give you the belly ache, but still all right. It's good. But you don't dare take it out and plant it. Right. Some of us here are old enough to understand. A lot of you young whippersnappers, you don't know what we're talking about. There's some of us old enough to understand you don't plant corn, you know, when it's green. You wait until it dries and seasoned out. Then you can plant it. And it's really got to be seasoned real good, or it won't come up. You see, the prophet was pointing down to you and I. We must be the Word. All right. See, then the book must be completed. Same thing I explained about the corn of wheat coming down to you. Get a full ear of corn, and that's what Jesus called it, the full ear in the corn, you know. He's speaking of the end time when it would come down, and we must become the Word. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. You might be careful how you answer it. I don't want it out loud anyway. You can just do it to yourself, but be careful. Do you believe that we are to give birth to the Word? Do you believe that we're supposed to have a new birth? A baptism of the Holy Ghost, eternal life in our soul, and give birth to Jesus Christ, the Word. All right. Now, if you believe that, I mean truly believe that, then you can see what I'm talking about with the rest of the message. Because you see that lamb to take the book. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ paid the price. Right? He done the work, the kinsman. He done it back there, but it wasn't applied back there. It'll only be applied in the end time. All right. So if you believe you gave birth to the Word by the new birth, and one of the quotes I've got in here somewhere, Brother Brown said, when you see in the Word, you see in Jesus. All right. Then there's no place for us to go. Now, you'll hear these words if you'll listen to the prophet in that Seed Not Air with a Shuck masterpiece. He said there's no other stage for us to go to. There's no more carriers, he said. He said Mary was the life's carrier. Pentecost, Azusa Street, 1906, was the life's carrier of the Word. He said, there's no place for us to go. We ain't got a place. You know what we've got to become? The Word. We've got to become the Word. We've got to become the book. The book then is sealed, and we're sealed with the book. So then what's our problem? Now I'm going to ask you the question. Where did that lamb come from? Where did that lamb in Revelations come from? Now I'm going back over it again because I know how the mind wanders. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was introduced and died on Calvary to pay the price. But he's had to do the kinsman redeemer work until redemption is over. Then he can become the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Where'd that lamb come from? I know I've bypassed the quotes, brothers, back there. Brother Anderson, but just, if you will, jump up to Revelation 5. And let's just read it. I give these brothers notes and things, and then sometimes I don't use them, sometimes I do, so I'm sorry. But listen, just read it. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. See, that scripture right there is the basis of what most people in the message, all they want to know about. Is it written in the book? Or what's on the book? Is anything added to the book? Or what's on the outside the book? What kind of book is it? They spend their whole lives talking about that. Never talk about the rest of it. Now, come on. You tell me if they didn't. Well, look what he said. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man. It's not searching for a beast or a lamb or a lion or a dog or a cat or a horse or anything. It's looking for a man. Right? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He knew we had to have the revelation. Come on, read it. He knew we had to have the revelation. And how was we going to get it if they didn't a man come forth? Well, look, verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders." You remember chapter 4? We went through all of these over and over and over. The throne. And what is that? The Father's throne. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Who are the who are the four beasts? The combat beasts down through the ages and things. Right? And who are the elders? The 24 elders. Who are they? 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. We went through all of this. Right? See, John didn't, the lamb just don't appear somewhere else. He's got to connect back to every phase all the way down. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, what kind of a lamb is that? First off, he's bloody, bleeding. If you've read the breach, you heard the prophet say it. Because he was slain at Calvary. Right? But that man that was hanging on Calvary didn't have seven horns and seven eyes. He was the Son of Man who died for you and I. Brother Brown said he died Son of Man, said he raised Son of God. That he's been Son of God down through the seven church ages. Because see, he's not on his right throne. That's what Jesus was talking about. He that overcomes to sit with me in my throne as I've overcome to sit with my Father in his throne. Father's throne, Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God down through the ages. Why your prophet would keep saying those things like unveiling of God and mighty God unveiled to read them. But look what he's saying. Funny looking lamb. Now come on, do you see what I'm talking about? First off, it says he was slain. All right, that puts it right back over there at Calvary, where he paid the price. But why didn't he just walk out there and say, "I'm here"? Where did the lamb come from? We'll show you why he's got seven horns and seven eyes. See, the horns and the eyes show where he come from. Right? Because we know he was slain. All right. See, the lamb had been slain. But he had seven horns and seven eyes, which he says is the seven spirits of God. Now, I've been over this with you. I've got them laying here in front of me if you want to read them. There's not seven spirits of God, right? There are not nine, no more seven spirits of God than there are nine gifts in the basis of, it's the one Holy Spirit with nine manifestations, right? Am I right now? Nine manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. So it's not seven spirits, like God has got seven spirits. It's the Spirit of God down through the seven church ages. The horns, see, is the Holy Spirit anointing a messenger, horns and eyes. Come on, church. Horns mean seven ages. Paragraph 204, Revelation chapter 5. Seven horns was the seven ages taken from the breach. Paragraph 231. Pull up number 6, because I love this one. Pull up number 6, and let's see what kind of a lamb you're looking at. He's tying it back to Zerubbabel and the eyes, the seven, the eyes of the Lord, right? All right, now watch what, the seven eyes. Eyes mean seeing. Seeing means prophets, seers. This lamb had seven horns, and on each horn had an eye. An odd-looking lamb, isn't it? Horn sticking out and an eye on the end of it. And on each horn had an eye, seven eyes. What is it? What is it? What are you looking at? Christ and his bride. Seven church ages. Out of there were seven prophets that went forth. Seven seers, eyes. So the last one must be a seer. All right. Each one of those ages would be a prophet in the basis of the age that they're in for the prophet. Right? Little random could call them prophets. No problem. But who is that? It's the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Where did he come from? Look at number 7. Taken from the breach, 1963, 317, paragraph 194. John hadn't noticed this Lamb before. You know here, he hadn't been mentioned before. Right? Because in the reading coming up, nowhere had it been mentioned. John didn't see it all over the heavens as he was looking. But here it come forth. Now when the proclamation went forth for the Redeemer, why didn't John see it? That's what he's emphasizing. Because he looked all over heaven, Brother Brown says. He said heaven was searched. And earth was ransacked, one of the two. I know he used those words. And he said, no man was found worthy. He said the prophets were all standing there. He said Moses was standing there. He said Elijah was standing there. He said all of those born-again Christians that had died were standing there. But they weren't worthy. Why didn't John see the Lamb? Where had the Lamb been? Look what he tells you where he'd been. All over heaven as he's looking. But here it come forth. Notice where it came forth. Where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne. Where he had been seated since he had been slain and raised again. He raised up and sat on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. Where does the Lamb come from? Where does that Lamb come from to take the book, to loose the seven seals? Now we know there's only one Lamb, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But we just read the quote prior to this one that Brother Run said it was Christ and his bride. So once we're united together, how can we be separated? And remember, chapter 4, where a bride goes up in the rapture. Chapter 5 is the bride in glory. You remember that was the question. We'll get to it later. That was the question they asked Brother Branham. He said, no, that's not the bride. He stood there and he started to go on and he stopped and he said, there's something wrong. Brother Ned Iverson was one that told him, said, read your question over again, your scripture. He went back and read it again. He said, see where I'd have made a mistake. He said, that is the bride in glory in Revelation 5. See, one of these days we'll understand the statement he made during that message. He said, this is actually the opening of those seals. He said, no, that wasn't until later. That's where you're missing what I've been trying to say. The bride is sealed up. she is those seals because she's Jesus Christ for the age. You said, no, wait a minute, it's Jesus, but where's he at? This lamb by itself, a bloody lamb, would have been good. That would have been Jesus. But when you put the seven horns and the seven eyes on the same lamb, what have you got? You got him and his church, him and his bride, as one. You remember, that's what I told you. Those two witnesses are going to tell those Jews, you missed it. And a Gentile people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And said, now they've gone in a rapture, and you're here in the tribulation. They're going to preach us to them. Right? They're going to take this message to Israel. And you know what this message is? You and me. We are the message. And Brother Branham is part of the message. Are you listening? Then what was it? He come from the Father's throne. The Father's throne is a baptism of the Holy Ghost dwelling in the life of the bride upon earth. That don't do away with what's in heaven. Because remember, we got to be here what is there. That's the key. We got to be here what is there. It's got to be on earth exactly what's in heaven. So what's in heaven? Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. How many's on that throne? Did the Father get up and walk off and the Son came over and sat down? No. And this lamb, when he took the book, what did he do? What did this lamb do? I didn't give these to the brothers. You've heard it. Souls in prison, 1963, 11:10, paragraph 149. And the lamb came forth, walked up to him that had the book in his right hand, and received the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. Getting crowded on the throne. A lamb with seven horns and seven eyes sitting on one throne. Christ and his bride sitting on one throne. 1964, 12:27, who do you say this is? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. John looking to see a lion, he saw a lamb that had been slain. A bloody lamb come forth and took the book, climbed up on the throne and sat down. You see, church, if Christ is not in our hearts in the right way, he's not on the throne. See, we've got to see him correctly. We got to see that one true and living God correctly to realize what's in our hearts and our throne, what throne we've made him. Do you realize we make him a throne for him to sit on? We give him our souls to come and live in that provides a place for that lamb to live. And he's doing his redemption through you. Come on, church. How many times do we need to preach it? Did the prophet say, if you don't have enough faith for your children, I doubt you having faith for yourself. Do you need that quote? Why is it when we dedicate a baby, we dedicate, have everybody in the building to dedicate one baby? Why? Because you're dedicated to live before that baby. The mama and daddy raises the baby. They're dedicated to raising it. But you and I are dedicated to live a Christian life before it, to where it can see Jesus Christ. Come on. Where does that lamb come from? He comes from the Father's throne. Brother Branham said in another quote, he said he was here back in behind the throne. He said he comes forth. What's he talking about? What is he talking about when the lamb takes a book, climbs up on the throne, and sits down? Simple terminologies. He's becoming the one on the throne, right? That's the way our understanding ought to be. We ought not have, if we looked up there and seen 10 thrones, we ought to look back and say, something's wrong. Because there's only one God. There's only one throne. We're going to sit with him in that throne, that kingdom. A throne is a domain, a kingdom. And we're going to sit with him in that throne. Right. Where does the Lamb come from? See, the body is there now sitting on the Father's throne. Right hand, power, all of those, we've been through it. And you know where we are? We are his power and authority here on earth. We're his right hand upon earth. We are the redeemed, and the Bible said, let the redeemed say so. Where does that lamb come from? It has to be reproduced by the only way that it could ever be. Because if you brought another lamb upon the earth in the end time, like that lamb, you would have two gods. But if you let that God come down and live in a people and let those people become the horns and the eyes of the Almighty God, then you still got one God. You know that Brother Branham said, I'm looking at him today, he said, the Godhead is not complete without you. Well, what do you mean? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that's Godhead. Well, the Holy Ghost is in you. So he's not complete without you. You don't understand what he's saying, right? If you have eternal life inside of you, then the eternal life inside of you is a part of eternal life of God. So he's not complete without you. See? Where does that lamb come from? Now, can you tie back to what I say in Sunday afternoon? Can you tie back to what I went over just a moment ago? Mary was not the seed. She gave birth to the seed. She was a carrier. But there's no more types and shadows. We have to be him, made manifest in bride form. So he's standing there in bride form in Revelation 5. Is that hard to understand? You see him, you see her. Right? Come on. You see a man, you see his wife. Lived together long enough, we started looking alike. Sorry, young couples. That applies to everybody except Joyce and Danny, because they're having problems with it. I don't know which one of them two is going to have to change. But now listen. The lamb here in the acts of the play that we've been talking about, because remember, the prophet said Revelation 5 is not a verse-by-verse description. He said it's the scene where there's a preparing, he said, for the opening of the seals. A scene. One of these days we get down to Revelations 8:1 and Brother Brown said, that's a scene. A scene means something is happening. It's not a picture. Picture of something that has happened. A scene is something going on. You see why I've kept driving at it? That lamb, it couldn't be a lion. That lamb come forth and was crucified at Calvary. That lamb has come down through seven church ages. That lamb is still on the mercy seat. For you and I. The acts of a play. The acts of a play. Brother Branham said that this chapter 5 is the most sublime scripture there is in the Bible. I gave it to you the other day, 238 to the breach. You get the first one of it. Paragraph 92, Revelation chapter 5. He said this is the greatest chapter of all the book of Revelations. Chapter 5 is the greatest chapter, the most sublime thoughts that could ever be in the scriptures is to see what God thought of a people. Right? Let me just cut the rest of it. Pull it up, Brother Joe, with what we've talked about. Revelations 5. All right. Now remember the next one. Don't put it up yet. I'm going to use this one. I'm not going to get into what we're tonight. It'll be more Sunday. But look what he says in Revelations 5, 6, and 7. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which is the Spirit of God in seven church ages. Right? And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Acts of a play. And what did he do? He climbed up on the throne and sat down. See, we think he come and took the book out of the hand of one throne and just... No, he climbed up on the throne and sat down. Because he's got to stay on the throne till redemption's over. What about a beautiful scene? To see the bride of Christ that we read there a while ago, that says seven horns and seven eyes, is dealing with Christ and his bride. She's the one that gives birth to the Word. The words your prophet brought has to be birthed. She is to be delivered, I'm quoting from Sunday, of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Well, Malachi 4, Brother Branham, he said the bride is to give birth. The birth of the Word. What a beautiful scene to see what God thinks of you and I. That he puts us right on the throne with him. When he climbs up on that throne and sits down, he's on the throne of your heart. Has he climbed up there and sat down yet? Because we know in Revelation that's what he's, you know, we know up in heaven that's what he's already done. And he's waiting in heaven for us to manifest on earth what he's doing there, to become the Word made flesh. The fully matured Word is not going to go to the ground this time, it's going up. All right. Let's take one more look at him. Let's take one more look at him and her. Go ahead, Brother Joe. Revelation 1. Now look what he says. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, horns and eyes. And in the midst of the candlesticks, seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. How many times have I preached on that? Paps is feminish. That's not a masculine form. That's a feminish form. Huh? Go to number 11. We'll take this and quit. Why we are not a denomination. 58:927, paragraph 180. Now, if you notice in Revelation 1, we find Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlesticks. When he turned and saw one like the Son of Man standing clothed with a, how was it? It was a bride standing in the candlesticks, drawn out. Same picture. From Revelation 1 to Revelation 5. And I wasn't the one that wrote the book, but I'll sure give you the quote later. He said, Revelation 10:1. It's standing with one foot on land and one on sea. He said that was the same as Revelations 1. I can find you that in a hurry, probably. Joe will probably find it by the time we get through and put it up there. Shows the same. Revelations 1 shows Jesus Christ in his bride. Full manifestation. Revelations 5 shows Jesus Christ in his bride in a full manifestation of a Lamb of God. Revelations 10:7 shows the lion, or 10:1 shows the lion and his bride. Right. Can you find it, Brother Joe? Let's see. If I can get to Revelation 10, I can tell you where it's at. Somebody might remember it right off because I've used it enough. Revelation 10. All right. Be page 72, 74 to see a book. Which, that's probably the old seal book. So we'll have to translate that over, but that's enough. You know it. You don't, I'll be glad to give it to you. He said Revelations 1. Revelations 10, 1 is the same as Revelations 1, 13. See, we want to make it some kind of a great something of Brother Branham and the things. All right, they got it. I was thinking it was in the seal book, but it's not. It's in Revelation chapter 4, part 1, 1960, 12, 31. The voice was the same voice that walked in the seven golden candlestick. Same voice. The voice didn't change, but the voice, where was it when he heard it the first time? I mean, remembers in the first church age behind him, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, Revelations 1, the 10, in the spirit. If you want to put that down, Revelations 1, 10, 13, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, but that's still not the one. Because he was standing in the midst because he said it's the same as Revelations. I'll give it to you later. Don't worry about it. Because it's on page 72 and 74 of the old seal book. But just think about it. You and I have got to give birth to the Word. That's good. That's a wonderful situation, to give birth to the Word. But see, that's not all the story. We must become the Word made flesh. That's what God is waiting on. He's waiting on us to bring forth a lamb. In other words, he's waiting on time to where the bride can become the Word. The Word made flesh. And she can stand up on the earth and not be caught up with all these doctrines and ideas and things running about the people of the message. You know, two souls, seventh under virtue, Perusia, River Jordan, all kind of things. It ain't going to be a denominational bride. It'll be a word-born bride. Only the word-born bride can give birth to the Word. Right? Only the word-born bride can be the Word. That's why in 1969 in Athens, Georgia, I preached a message that in the end time, the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man. I still believe it. More today than I ever have. Got a whole lot more mechanics to go with it. But I've already showed you. That was the first sermon I preached right here with all the quotes from Brother Branham. The bride of Jesus Christ must be the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh is the Son of Man. You see, we only want to stop with Brother Branham being. He's not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to see it like that and see it up in glory, the seven horns and the seven eyes onto the Lamb. It's not you trying to type something. You are that. Partial realization must become perfect realization. You say, yeah, but that's just making too much, because I'm trying to get in the idea that maybe you're saying that we are the Lamb. No, He's the Lamb. We're the seven horns and seven eyes. But they're sitting on the Lamb's head. And the Lamb without the horns couldn't take the book. Come on. But the Lamb with the seven horns and seven eyes can take the book. Why? Because the book's finished. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, brothers. Think on these things. Hebrews 11:40, they without us cannot be made complete. Right? The word perfect is complete. You know, even those that are in glory today are groaning. I had a bunch more to bring, but I didn't. Because they're wanting to be back here in their earthly bodies. Romans 8:23, 24, right through 22, 23. What is it? The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And you know, then we're groaning. Waiting to wit, to understand the plan of redemption. We're groaning for that. Every prayer I pray, I say, God, reveal your word. Open your word that we can see. Let me have the ability to preach it that the people can see it. The prophet of God said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, she'll be gone. I believe that I'm the bride of Christ, but I really don't know whether I'm going to make the change or not. Why? What's your problem? Well, I'm getting older. What's your problem? Read the other day where somebody was 114 years old. That means I got something like, what, 30, 42 more years to go. What about it? You know one statement I know of Brother Branham that I love? He said the biggest portion of the Old Testament scriptures of prophecy was fulfilled. Do you remember where? On the last hours that he was hanging on the tree. The biggest portion of the scriptures was fulfilled the last hour he was hanging on a tree. What about it? Can you see yourself? Seven horns and seven eyes. The Spirit of God down through seven church ages. And you see, he couldn't come forth and make it manifest with six horns. You know, got to be seven horns, seven eyes. Got to be the bride of Jesus Christ standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Like unto the Son of Man. It doesn't say the Son of Man standing there. It says like unto the Son of Man. Gird about the paps. So it's feminine form. The wonderful bride of Jesus Christ. Will your revelation produce a lamb? Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I could spend the rest of the night talking on that one thought. We, for illustration, say that they would take the Bible and they would take it apart and give it out. I would, and give the pages out of the Bible to each one. I said, now what you've got to do is you've got to memorize that, you know, and then destroy it. But one of these days we're going to come back together. And if you're not able to bring your portion of the scripture back, then we will not be able to unlock the key. Right? We're all dependent upon the fact that every one of us has got to be able to remember Now, I'm just giving that as an illustration, right? Because I'm the worst one with a memory in the building, so you know I'm having to illustrate it. But you see, without our part, the book is not complete. You say, but I don't have anything to do other than sit in a pew. That's what we're here for. Got to be somebody for me to preach to. Yeah, but all I can do is sell old cars. Well, that makes a living for a lot of people. What about it? And you see your part. Now, if he's not complete without us, then we got to have our part complete. True. So if it's just a housewife, what are we supposed to be? A housewife. That's where we're trying to figure out somebody else's position. Is that what the prophet said on adoption? He said it's not for us to figure out those things. He said it's to be what we're supposed to be. Ain't no way to figure this thing out. It's got to be revealed. And you're part of the book. And you're being revealed. Do you know yourself? That most of you that have been here any amount of time, that's the thing that I've always tried to do, is to get you to see who you are. Not to see who I am and gifts and signs and wonders. Well, we believe Brother Dale because of this, that, or the other. Well, then don't do it. You're not doing no good. It's when he reveals himself to you, then you are becoming what I'm preaching. See? We listened to a man Sunday, and I believe him. Talked about tattoos disappearing off of people's arms. And well, he said, well, I don't really know about that. Now, the reason you don't know about it is because you don't have an experience. This is my experience, church. A long time ago, a man, and I'm not throwing off on him, I'm just making a point. A long time ago, a man preached for quite a while that he was going to kill a world record deer. One day he spoke and he said, there's a possibility there may be another one. These are direct quotes coming from where he was at. You know what I told him? I said, if you can believe what I'm trying to preach, I'll give you the second one. See, you're supposed to put our faith out. Why can't we speak our faith? Well, Brother Dale, you're going to get... See, that's what you're trying to figure out. I was just telling it how it was. If you believe God, he'll give you the desire of your heart. That's Bible. You better be careful, because you might not want what you get, but he'll give you the desire of your heart if you believe it. That's where the trouble with most people, they can't believe for their families. They can believe for the family if it walks down the altar and just stands and cries and repents. Oh, yes. But what about believing for them when they're going worse and worse and worse and worse in the world? Why not stand up and say it? I told you Wade would be here. And I kept saying it. And I said then, just like I'm saying now, I don't care whether you believe it or not. Because he didn't speak to you. I don't expect you to believe it. He spoke to me. Well, you know, one day it came. And I told you again, I said, I wouldn't even let my wife tell him, because I didn't want to have anything to do with his calling. And I told my wife, I said, not only has he told me Wade's coming back, this is before Wade came back. I said, Wade's going to be preaching in the pulpit. He'll be preaching Sunday afternoon. because we're going over to meet and invite. Why don't you speak what you believe? You know, the Lord might be waiting on you. Is anything, any problem with that? Joyce was praying for Danny, wasn't he? I said, don't worry about it. Just quit worrying about it. He'll be here. Won't you say it? What if it don't come to pass? I got enough sense to know God didn't say it. But if it comes to pass, I got enough sense to know I didn't say it. Right? I got enough sense to know I didn't say it. But Brother Dale, you're a preacher. What's that difference? You are the book I'm talking about. You're the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. So you and God have become one. Let's stand together. What we got, brother? Between three and a red book. Anybody have a need? Again. Wonder. Anybody have a need? Wonder. We've prayed for quite a while for everything to be straight about his job and to, you know, to be able to, and now he has the job and all. So just keep praying and keep believing and keep saying it. All right. Father, we thank you for the testimony. Now make it a complete manifestation in Jesus' name. The words of God. Keep praying. Sister, Lord, 2 years. Well, yeah, what's 2 years to you, Lord? What's time to Almighty God? You'll make it manifest because you reveal it. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Just go keep saying it. Just keep saying it. He makes intercession upon our confession. you heard our brother. He's asking about his knee and all, Lord. We know what Satan's doing. He's trying to hinder in every way. But yet you're the healer. We thank you, Father. He's also praying about his family that's coming in for a gathering and all and traveling many miles. And just give mercy to each one of them. Give them a safe journey here and back home, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Words of life. Father, the Abby's stomach has given her problem for me. We love you and we thank you. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Well, the boy said he started testifying about his leg, you know. You remember the other day? Everything was doing wonderful. All at once, whammo. How many's ever been through an experience like that? I was sitting one day down there, and you know how my hands used to break out, and they still do to a degree. But we were talking, we were down at the Jeffers years ago, and she said, Sam said, your hands are really looking good. I said, they're not broke out at all. I said, that's right. I said, the Lord healed me. Less than 3 days, they were splitting open. So you start testifying and watch that devil. He gets mad. He says, I'm going to make you. I'm going to show you you're lying. I'm going to make it worse. You know what God said? Make them worse. Because you'll see their testimony is right. But go ahead. He has to let the devil get on us, right? But it's for our benefit. Everybody hear that? Brother Gary Krantz is real sick and needs us to pray for him, and the Lord would touch him and deliver him from these things that's bothering him, a high fever and chills and everything else. But let's just believe it and pray, right? And just ask the Lord to make his work and be right. Father, our brother sent a word, Lord, for us to pray for him. We just ask you to come on the scene now. Go there and take away that pain and the agony. Take away the fever. Take away all of what's causing it. Because we know what Satan's doing. He's hindered in every form. For our brother not to be able to go to work, he must be really sick. But we've known him a long time and know that he works when he's feeling bad. But we just ask you, Lord, to honor his faith, to send a word for us, and to honor our faith, to believe that you are the healer. You're the Savior, you're the Redeemer, you're the all in all. In Jesus, Lord, is your name. Thank you for healing. We'll get a report back at all as well, Lord. We love you. Anybody else have a need before we go? Remember, now if you're going to try to all go together, whatever, to the fellowship meeting, make sure you let us know where we can make arrangements for vehicles and things. We'll be leaving at Wade's house at about 10 o'clock. And that way then we have to have time going up there because it's a long ways up and everything to get there. So we don't want to push time and all like that. We try to do as best we can, all right? Anything else before we go, Brother Boyd? Just remember that. Anybody else anything before we go? Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that what we said is worthy. The Lord, this would be the least to say we've tried the best we could. That wouldn't be very much. But yet we know a God that can take words, change them, fit them together, make them to be what they're supposed to be, and reveal yourself unto us. We love you and we thank you. We ask you as we go on our way home that you'd help us to remember these things. And Father, just take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. May your love be made manifest in our hearts and lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.